And as I speak, Tiki Barber is walking up again. Good to see you, my man. He sits down with us every year. And
great to see you. How are you?
Good, doing well. And last year we were talking about, can it get any better than the Intrepid? This is still fun here.
Yeah, this is cool. The Intrepid was awesome, just because it's the Intrepid. Mm-hmm. And sure. it's the backdrop is different. We're in a convention center now, Philadelphia. No, it's the Pennsylvania Convention
yeah,
Center.
Yeah, I get confused.
We said Philadelphia on our show. People started tweeting us, what are you talking about? Get the wrong name. But it's still great, because all the festivities that are going on here and the USAA, which does an amazing job. So it's great to be down here again.
I've found, too, in the internet age of instant information, I remember doing an Oakland A's postgame show, and I said, AJ Griffin's ERA is now 3.14, and someone's like, it's 3.41, you idiot. Get off the air. I'm like, sorry. I mean, everybody's right there.
Blame your stat guy.
I know.
It was my stat guy. It wasn't me. It was my stat guy.
So this year with the New York Giants.
Yeah, surprising.
I love Saquon. I'm still not sold on Daniel Jones yet.
Yeah.
But Dable's doing a good. What do you think, man?
Well, I think. So I met Brian in Buffalo 2 years ago because I called one of the Bills games. And I could tell that he was a personable, just easygoing, but there's an intensity to him. Mm-hmm. And he was honest. Like, you'd ask him a question. I'm doing this as an analyst, so I'm mm-hmm. asking him questions that we're going to hopefully use in the game. And he's just telling us exactly what we need to hear. Right? He's not trying to hide or thinking that we're, you know, going to tell the other team what they're doing. He was just so open and straight. And so when he became the Giants head coach, I reached out. And I was like, man, this is great that you're here. You know, I hope you have that same philosophy. He's like, Teek, that's the only way I know how to do things. And, you know, we went and covered it from WFAN at the training camp. And he asked me to go out on the field and talk to the team.
Oh, wow.
And it's the first time I've been asked to do that since I've been retired. I've been retired 16 years now.
16 years?
Yeah, it's crazy, Rick, right?
You still look like you can play.
And
you haven't let yourself go.
No, I run a lot. That's why. That's, okay. But, you know, it was just – it felt welcoming. And I feel like that's been his personality since he's been here, both with the organization and with the players and with the media. He presents leadership in a perfect way, and I think the guys started to respond to that. Now, the team, they lack talent in places, right? It's going to mm-hmm. still turn over. Joe Shane, the general manager, has got some work to do to get a high-quality Pro Bowl level, in most positions,
pretty
team
good draft, though.
Out there. But he's had a good draft, and he still has assets for next year's draft. But the decision will happen with Saquon, who's had some injury issues, but he's having a pretty good season this year, mm-hmm. and Daniel Jones at the quarterback position. Early on in this year, we started like analyzing Daniel Jones and saying, all right, what does he have around him? There's not that much around him, but he's winning. He's got five comeback wins in his first seven games or whatever it was, and mm-hmm. and when he makes the play when he has to, there's not that great of talent in the wide receiver room, but he's becoming more of a runner and he's more polished, and I feel like every win put him closer to being the quarterback of the future, not because he's technically the quarterback of the future, but because they move so far down the draft that they can't draft the quarterback of the future. And so I don't want to say it's by default, mm-hmm. but I do think he has earned at least another year or so, maybe a short-term deal mm-hmm. that he's going to ultimately get there.
When you look at Saquon coming out of Penn State, an amazing rookie year, and then the injuries. And I remember at the Combine, he tied Myles Garrett's like rep record
yeah.
for running back. It made no sense that he was that strong. What were some of the things that you looked at when he got injured, like to keep your head up? Because he might think, I might not ever get back to my rookie status
yeah.
again.
Yeah, I think – so that's the hardest thing. Well, let me back up to the beginning of that question. The hardest thing for an NFL player to do, especially a running back – is learn how to stay healthy, right? Because you think you can do it all. You think you're invincible. You think you can run through that tackle. You think you can take that hit. You think you can do whatever. But in reality, it wears on you, and availability becomes the most important thing. And it took him a couple of years to figure that out. I didn't know if he would ever get back to that same player. We started to see him dancing a little bit. Now, part of that was because he didn't want to get hurt again. Another part is just didn't trust the guys in front of him. The Giants this year, fortunately, have done a better job of putting two edges, two first-round picks, you know, number one overall, first-round picks at tackle. Mm-hmm. They brought in some veterans in the interior, and you started to see him trusting a little bit more, which let him be a runner as opposed to a dancer come in the backfield. I do think the Giants want him here. I think he's going to sign a long-term deal. It's not going to be, you know, Christian McCaffrey break the bank type of deal, but I do think he's motivated to be here, and the Giants are motivated to keep him here. He's their captain. He's their best offensive player. I think he's going to stay a Giant.
When you addressed the team, did you tell them your little secret about diving diagonally right at the end, get that extra yard?
Hey, go down high and tight, and don't take contact. You don't have to be the hero at the end of a play. The next play matters more. That's what I always said.
Well, before you go, let me ask you this, because I played D2 football in the 80s, and every once in a while, if I get out of the shower and I forgot to use shampoo, I'm like, is this CTE or am I just elderly and senile? You don't look like you're affected at all. All the times you got ear holed, probably 12 times a game. I mean, just do you feel anything?
No, I don't. And I think it's because I've been active. I've kept my mind very active, even when I was playing. But when I retired, I went and worked at the Today Show, you know, and I was traveling and doing different stories and covering football, obviously, as well. And I have kids that keep me young, and I wrote children's books. Like, I did so much. Like, my mind was always driving towards something and never got idle. I think one of the complicating factors that doesn't get talked about enough is having repeated head trauma and then following that with alcohol. A lot of guys will, you know, it's hard to come down from a game. It really is. Like, you're at this height, this mental, emotional, just like height. And all of a sudden it's over, and it's like, all right, go to sleep. It's hard. Right. And so a lot of guys go home, they get a handle, they do whatever. It's why, to be perfectly, you know, honest and fair, why CBD and cannabis has become, I think, one of the non-outlawing of it in sports has become huge for athletes as it pertains to their mental health and ability to stay even or come back down from the height of playing games.
Always great stuff. Good to see you, Tiggy. Thanks for coming by again.
Appreciate you, man.
All right, I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back on Sports Byline.